And we're back with the Barca Breakdown Podcast. My name is Adam.
And I'm the Use.
And here we are.
So if you guys take a few minutes out of your day and... please and thank you. Head over to iTunes, drop a review, let us know what you think.
Follow us on Spotify, follow us on iTunes, Twitter, Instagram, at Barca Breakdown.
And leave comments, give us a follow. We really want to hear from you guys. We're trying to make the pod better, and we want to give you guys the stuff you want to hear. So,
unfortunately, real life has kind of gotten in the way, right? So two weeks ago, we had to record the pod a few days after the game because of some real life things. I went to Chicago. This time, you can hear the game. This podcast is coming to you day after the game on Sunday because you went to
Las Vegas,
Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, it was super fun. Great experience, super fun. If you like the lifting, bodybuilding world, I would recommend that you take a trip down to Las Vegas, go to the Las Vegas convention, meet some bodybuilders, meet some strength competitors like Brian Shaw, even a giant man. But super fun. Yeah, check it out.
All right, let's get into Fatimania, as I am calling current period of time. 5-2 victory against Valencia.
Great outcome.
I think we all remember they're the team that beat us in the Copa del Rey final. Those were the dark Valverde days. We're, I guess, coming out. I don't know. We'll unpack that whole, you know, ball of doo-doo a little bit later. But 5-2 victory at home. So, what were your initial thoughts? So lineup comes out. Up front, you know, as we all know now, Messi didn't make it. Will he make it to Tuesday's game against Dortmund? We'll talk about in the future. But comes out, we have up front Fati, Griezmann, Carlos Perez. Even with Suarez back, wanted to rest him. I thought the choice was good. Then in the midfield, we had bang. We had exactly what I wanted to see.
True,
Arthur, Busquets, De Jong, right?
Yes.
I thought that was beautiful. And then in the back, we had a kind of standard Alba, Lenglet, Piqué,
Semedo. Yeah.
What'd you think of it from the lineup?
I liked the lineup. It was very interesting to see that he put Fati back in starting. And, I mean, it was a great decision, no doubt about that.
Fati mania.
But he's dancing over here, if you guys can't see, obviously. But
I mean, he's 16
he's
years
up.
Old, just going off.
No, you're right. I can't argue with that. He came out, and the first 10 minutes of his gameplay was incredible.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think everyone who watched the game, the first 10 were crazy. I guess just to go, you know, looking at the lineup, I was, again, right, pretty happy with Valverde, which doesn't happen often, as you guys all know. But, again, giving time to the young La Masia talents. We didn't get Neymar. Boom, Ansu Fati. Had Carlos Perez in there. You know, we'll break down the game a little bit more, but I thought what was really interesting and what, you know, a big complaint we had all last season and, you know, what kind of happens when you have the situation where on this, you know, on the lineup sheet, Messi's right wing, but when he actually plays the game, he's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a lot of width, right?
Yeah.
Especially when we had Coutinho on the left wing, quote unquote, last season when Dembele was hurt for, you know, the big Champions League games and is that we didn't have a lot of width. One thing I noticed just from the get-go of the game is we had some width finally. Fati was on the left side. Carlos Perez was really far on the right. So far on the right that De Jong was almost playing as a right winger with another right winger there. It was kind of crazy at points. But overall, I was very happy with the lineup. And like you were saying, first 10 minutes, unreal. Right. Well, how did you like that first goal when De Jong gets the ball? He kind of does like a blind pass in the middle, and then Griezmann does a little dummy to get the defender frozen, and Fati just, boom, kicks it home.
You know, I loved it because it was so early in the game, and it was showing that these players already are having a connection together, right? He's dabbing over here, folks.
I mean, Fati mania.
But the big thing was you see Fati standing there for a second, and you see De Jong running down. And immediately when De Jong looks to pass, Fati just bolts it forward. I just think he's having a great field of the vision just to start the game, and high energy, which provides us with so much. And how you were talking about Carlos Perez so far on the right gave Frankie De Jong the room to work a little bit. And I also thought we usually see Busquets and De Jong together, but I think De Jong's usually on the other side of the field, right? So this time, Valverde chose to have De Jong on the right side of the field, mm-hmm. which was, it seemed to work better. He seemed to be more comfortable.
Totally. Undoubtedly, I think De Jong's best game in a Barca jersey. Yeah, I thought, you know, Fati's doing so crazy that they're trying to sign him to the, not sign him, but get him, like, nationalized to play for the Spanish team, which would be pretty cool. They should have done to Messi, but that's for a different day. yeah, so we had Fati score the first goal. De Jong had the second goal, which was, again, created from some Fati mania, driving down the left side, deking people out, and then crossing it to the middle. And, yeah, I mean, that's what I like, is seeing De Jong push up to score a goal, right? Name one, you know, name a game last year where one of our midfielders was pushing up to score a goal. Really didn't happen.
No, not often
right?
at all.
When
no.
did you see Racky? I mean, Racky had like that great goal against Tottenham in the Champions League group stages, but that was out of the box.
Yeah,
that
was a far one.
When last year did you see Arthur or De Jong or Busquets in the box trying to score? So I immediately think that's one interesting factor that the midfield has this year that we didn't have last year. And I really think that this midfield trio works so well that we're going to see them used a lot more.
Well, I love seeing these young players on the field.
Frankie, yeah, Arthur and De Jong, dude.
Yeah,
I loved it. Barca in, Twitter and Instagram page posted this like pregame thing.
Yeah, I saw
with
that.
With Arthur and De Jong throwing balls, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful.
That just shows the chemistry.
Better love
that
story
that
than
having,
Twilight.
Yeah. Okay, not a lot of love stories beat that one. But I like Carlos Perez in the front and Fati. Like, it shows that we can use these young players and experiment with them a little bit. And they're, you know, they're coming up with some stuff. Even in these big games, Valencia is not an easy team. We struggled with them last year. And I talked about, you know, last year we drew them both games in La Liga, 1-1, 2-2. And then they beat us in Copa like we talked about earlier. But this is not a team to take lightly. And
no,
we
totally
had
not.
These young players step up and do a very good job.
On the third goal, Sir Gerard, you know, scoring. Yeah. It came from what I thought was a huge development about Griezmann. You know, he didn't score today. He had a few opportunities where he definitely could have.
Mm-hmm.
I as well thought he had one of his best games. You know, as the season goes on, we're going to have a bunch of these. This is the best game XYZ had. But Griezmann looked really fluid up front. I saw him moving between lines, moving positionally with different players. It seems like he's really starting to settle in and kind of produce like we like. But the big thing about that third goal that I noticed with Griezmann is that he's willing to take shots from out of the box, which I don't know if you, I remember you distinctly on the podcast some point last season being like, I wish more players besides Messi would take shots out of the box, because good things can happen. You know, you shoot a long shot, you have Courtois goes between his legs or giving up a rebound or something like that. So very happy to see Griezmann has brought that aspect of the game to the Barca team. And, you know, Piqué was questionable why he was that far up there that early in the game. But, you know, he got the rebound and he scored a goal.
Piqué's always done some weird stuff where he...
True, striker Piqué.
Yeah, striker Piqué.
And then the final two goals were just some magic from Suarez.
Honestly, some of the, like, best one-touch Suarez I've seen in a while.
True. And he's coming back from injury, which is a great sign.
Yeah.
I just... It's almost like we've been doing this podcast and following all these games for so long. But there's just a constant deja vu feeling, right?
Yeah.
It's like... New season, okay, what happened at the end of last season? I hated Valverde and he screwed the team. And then it's like beginning of the season, wait, I have some hope. You know, I think there's some elements of the hope we have now that are a little different, mostly that Valverde is using some newer talent and getting the squad younger, which was a big thing. But with Suarez, I'm feeling that deja vu, right? Like, think about last season. I mean, in November, he had that a hat trick against Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, okay, if Suarez is playing like this, and then we could plug Messi back in because he was injured for that game.
It's going to be fire.
It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. We're going to win the treble, right? And then we saw what happened in April and May. So I totally love Luis Suarez, and I thought he scored, and I know he scored two of like the most fantastic goals I've seen in a while.
Very
from
beautiful.
Any player. Just hope he can keep it up.
See, that's the thing. Like, he's coming back from injury. And I don't know what it is. I guess he had time to sit on the bench and kind of like let the game happen and watch. And that may have kind of helped him, because when he comes in later, he's got fresh legs. Everybody else is looking maybe to look for him a little bit more, since he does know how to control the ball and take great shots if he's on his game. I think that another thing that I want to mention is that we earlier, maybe a couple pods ago, had discussed the Griezmann-Suarez kind of maybe issue that could occur, or, you know, how are they going to work together? But today I think we saw that there, I think one of Griezmann or Suarez's goals came from Griezmann.
Yep.
And so when that happened, that it looked like they were working well together. One, and then when he scored, the celebration, they looked like they were great friends. You know, they were on the pitch, they were happy. I didn't see any negative vibes basically from
True.
The two.
And it is all about the vibes. Two things I would say. One is there were some stories that dropped this week that. Like Griezmann is integrating well with the team. He bought like a PlayStation so he can play games with them. And they, I don't know, some media story.
Fortnite.
That, yeah. And then on top of that, I agree with you. They look good and they look like they're playing well. And I feel like the old adage in sports is always that like a winning team is a happy team.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're putting up 5 goals at the Camp Nou, going crazy. But I agree with you. Overall, they did seem like they are getting along, not just like personally, but also on the pitch.
Sure.
You know, take a step back, right? After 2 home games this season, we've scored 10 goals. Now, let's get the other side of it, which is what I really want to talk about. This game wasn't all, in my mind, you know, butterflies and unicorns. We've let up 4 goals in 2 games at home. I think on the season, we've let up 7 goals in 5 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember you had this whole thing before the season started that you wanted Stegen to go for the Zamora Trophy, but... we're having a hard time on this D, man. And, you know, we keep using the phrase Swiss cheese D. We've let up 7 goals in 4 games.
That's still what it is too much
in league. Yeah, no, of course, sure. Too much.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get the record straight. But, anytime there's a counter or any sort of situation where a ball is coming in from one of the two wings into the box, I just feel
it's the cross.
Like,
we just don't know how to handle it.
Here's what I've been thinking. Was that always an issue last season? I don't feel like it. I feel like we have a worse situation now than we did before.
I think last season we were more susceptible to counters in general, which we are still today, but I wasn't as worried about crosses. It's definitely been more prominent as I watch more games.
This season in particular.
Yeah. I don't know what it is because like sometimes I'm watching and PK just like maybe he's looking over the wrong shoulder or something. He's not seeing the whole field. It honestly looked like to me that Lenglet was doing a fine job, but wasn't super involved almost in some plays, while I feel like PK was dealing with a little bit more. Because a lot of the time I saw PK almost by himself in the back, not necessarily Lenglet like floating around in that area. So I'm not, maybe I just missed where Lenglet was, but I'm not exactly sure what the real issue with crosses is.
I think you're right, man. There's a few things you said there, but to unpack the big one is I do feel like PK needs to work on his attentiveness. I feel like at random times he starts to lose attention. I mean, obviously, right, most criminally was the handball he mm-hmm. got. But just in general, he does seem like he is a little more aloof than he needs to be. It's early in the season. You know, he needs to get back into game form, but that is something I've noticed. I think as well, I mean, I've had this issue all season long, but, like, it's hard for me to really... I just need Firpo up and running and to give Alba some competition because I watch some of these games, and especially on the offensive side, like, it's hard for me to name a player. Try to do this. Name a player this season who has been connecting with Jordi Alba well offensively.
Overall?
Mm-hmm.
I mean... yeah, I wouldn't say there's any player necessarily that I can think of. I think the issue is Alba's so used to connecting with Messi, and Messi is good with a give to Alba and then cross back to Messi and whatnot, that maybe with these new young players, he just doesn't know or have like the groove set. But it's been like this for a while, right? Like
yes.
Last season we felt like this. This season we're feeling like this. He kind of comes in and out of, oh, yeah, he did well-ish, or, like, that was a nice play, but it's never like, oh, Alba's game the whole game was something that I wanted to watch. It never is consistent in, I guess, keeping my mind, confident in what's going on.
I think this game will also be known. So, it was weird why Arthur wasn't playing in the first few games, possibly because they won the Copa America, came back late, wanted his fitness up so he wouldn't get hurt, something like that. But I think this game and the last game in general put the nail in the coffin on the idea that Sergio Roberto needs to start in midfield ahead of Arthur.
Yeah, we didn't see him, and I was kind of happy about it in the sense that I thought it gave Arthur a chance to show what he's made of, and I think he did a good job. I think he incorporated himself very well, and I think that he made connections with the other players of the team. He saw the ball. He was solid. He didn't make too many visible mistakes from what I remember. I honestly was happy.
Dude, Arthur is so good, man. I really love the dude. And like, he's got a good control. And he has that ability that we've been lacking, which is like the ability to control the ball as well as drive forward and connect with the front line. I feel like he has that really well. I feel like I was glad with Carlos Perez. Thought he performed well again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of talked about the Fati first 10 minutes, which was the, you know, the orgasmic, wonderful time. But throughout the rest of the game, he was also doing well. I mean, he lost the ball a few times like a young kid will do. Interesting. So I think we gave Valverde some credit for the lineup to start with. I also thought some of his subs were good. One, like, kind of heartwarming, and I know you'll really be all happy about this, but when they put in Rakitic, the stands really cheered for him, and after the game, he gave them his shirt and boots. And so, you know, hopefully we're seeing a mending of the issues with Rakitic. I think long-term, no matter what, we're looking at him being sold either next summer or this winter. You know, that's a huge question I have, right? And it's kind of this messed up duality where, like, on one hand, one of my biggest criticisms of Valverde last season was relying on Rakitic too much, overstarting him, not giving him enough rest, and then also playing him when games that I didn't think he had been performing at the level needed to start. And then this season, he's not starting Rakitic, and I'm almost like, why not? You know, even though I didn't want him to start Rakitic, I have this weird innate question, like, well, what happened here?
We can also consider the fact that before the transfer window closed, he was sort of up in the air with the transfer.
True.
And so that might have been affecting, like, oh, why are we going to play him if we're going to, you know, sell him or trade him for Neymar or whoever, whatever the deal was. That was, you know, we had millions of reports. We don't know. But that could, now that the transfer window's closed, Neymar's not coming. He's like, okay, well, now I have Rakitic to play for sure, and there's no, like, I don't know. The reports are very skewing, so you never know what's really happening behind the sheets.
Definitely. I mean, it could be that they've told Rakitic, hey, like, it could be that Valverde is basically like, hey, I need to change up some stuff or I'm going to get canned. I might get canned anyways. So I think he's like, you know what? Let me listen to a lot of the criticism. I need to start the younger players, the La Masia talents. And I need to do certain things like add some width to the team.
Yeah.
I need to, you know, incorporate De Jong, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd put my hands together if Valverde said that.
Okay, but so but here's my thing is I think he might have, and the big thing that he took is like those are all the positive things you need to do in terms of like the things you need to restrain.
Sure.
Starting Rakitic all the time. So I think they might have just basically been like, all right, Valverde decided, you know what, Rakitic, like you're the way we play you and the way we use you is not going to work with the team for how I want it to play. So I'm not going to start you that much. We're going to get rid of you in the winter, and that'll be that. But and so maybe he doesn't want to use Rakitic now because if he's assuming he's going to get rid of him in the winter, he doesn't want to create a team dynamic where it builds on having Rakitic as a unit in the team, right?
No, I totally agree with that. That would be a smart thing to do as a coach because you do not want to make players, you know, regularly used to playing with a certain player in the midfield that isn't going to be there in, you know, next year. Then they're just not, it just creates a bad learning environment almost, you know, connections between the team. I will say though, we've been talking about some criticisms of Valverde in the last, I don't know, while.
2 years.
But I will say things have, and if you look at the titles of some of our pods like recently, some of those things have been kind of coming together. Like, we have mentioned, oh, are the new young players, are they going to save us, basically? And right now, it's coming out, and it's happening. Valverde, and we've talked about the pod, on the pod. I want Valverde to realize, like, certain players need to play in certain games, and this is their strength, this is their weakness. You need to change up the lineup. And we're seeing that happen. So I posed the question, like I did before, is Valverde learning from these, you know, previous mistakes? Is he taking the criticism, like you're saying, and like adding it to his strategy and his thought process? I don't know. It's still hard to say because we're still very early in the season.
But the signs are good. To boil down what you're saying, yes. Right? Like, yeah, I think the signs are good, and I'm happy with what Valverde is doing. And here's the thing. We haven't had Messi, right? That's like the big thing kind of
definitely
out in the open. Were there any other weird thoughts though you had before we go on about the game or about Messi and the Champions League game? Any more thoughts about the Valencia game?
I would say that overall it was a great game, but we need to
become like Munster, not Swiss cheese. You know what I'm saying? We need to eliminate the holes.
I think
the energy and the joy was awesome.
Yeah.
I think we need to play every game at home and never play an away game. I think I was overall happy with the development of the youth players and the energy and the width and the interplay between the midfield and the front three. But I would say, like, back in my head, right, it's this like awkward PTSD that Barca fans have. Three things. One, I'm worried about away games. Clearly, we're not playing the same on away. We lost to Bilbao. We tied Osasuna. Not a great record for your first two away games. Second, Swiss cheese D. Counters don't look good. Anytime a ball is crossed into the box, I just feel like someone's going to one-time it and score. And the big thing is I don't think any of these have to do with Ter Stegen necessarily playing poorly. I just think that our defense is not, crossing out balls. And then I think the third big thing is that, I mean, we're just entitled fans. We expect trophies. Sure. And so, like, you know, there's this weird feeling of not being able to enjoy the present without worrying about the future. But I think I should try to internalize that issue and just be like, well, you know what? The game was exciting. We played good football. That's what we need to build off of without thinking about, you know, how this is all going to play out in May of next year.
I will say two things. First thing, we cannot let up 90-plus two-minute goals anytime.
Lapse of concentration.
Yeah, that's not good. And the other thing, I felt pretty bad for Jasper Cillessen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There was a lot of shots coming at him, and he did a good job blocking quite a few, but...
Yeah, Cillessen's my boy, man.
He took a hit, I will say that.
I don't remember exactly the story, but I think, like, someone did a guard of honor for Valencia because they won the Copa del Rey, and, like, I think Cillessen was awkwardly, like... Because he'd lost it, you know, but now he's on their team.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. Felt
same. That's
felt
why
bad,
I was...
but you're right. I mean, I'm glad we scored.
Well, I was like watching some of these players celebrate, and I looked at Cillessen, and I was like, oh, dude, that's awful. I would feel horrible. But anyway, yeah, those were my two comments of the game.
So moving on to this week, we have a ginormous game.
Huge.
Champions League, first game away.
That's the biggest part.
At Dortmund.
Yeah.
With Lionel Messi questionable. Now, the newest update from today... He practiced with the team.
Two.
I have a feeling he'll be like a 60-minute sub. Maybe. That's my prediction.
Well, it's weird because he got injured. And
by the way, he looked good. I don't know if I sent you any videos. No, in the training today, he was dribbling past people, doing some squirrel stuff. You know,
well, hopefully,
goals.
But still, like if you think about what had happened, he got injured. They said they'd be back in a shorter amount of time than 5 weeks or whatever it is now. And so, like, I don't really know what happened. Is he just taking the time to make sure it's not... much of an issue.
I think that those disputed reports, like midway through this injury session when he was going to play in Batiste, then he got hurt, and then the reports were he got re-injured, and then Barca came out and said, no, he didn't get re-injured, it's just going to take a little bit longer. I think he did re-pull re-injure. It or something, or you know, get it more sensitive, because it's a calf, right? It's something you use all the time, and it's something that's integral to his play, so like they need it to be as healthy and ready to go as possible.
Sure. With that, do you think that... Well, one question first is, do you think Valverde will use him at all?
Yes.
And the second
30-minute sub.
Okay, 30-minute sub.
No. 30 as in sub in the 60th minute. Minutes.
Second, if it was you, would you do it? Or would you play Messi, or would you rather save him for the... I guess it wouldn't matter. He'd be healed up after that anyway by the time you played Dortmund the second time. But would you risk it?
Well, we won't play Dortmund for a while.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying. It doesn't matter.
I think they are probably our biggest rival in this group stage. I think that he'll play him in the 60th minute as a sub. And I think, you know, we kind of got in these debates last season, and it really came up with Dembele playing against Huesca getting hurt before the second Liverpool leg, where it's one of those situations where, like, if the doctors say he's okay to play, I don't think there should be a second question. And if the doctors are saying he's okay to play with a fear of a reaggravation, then they're doing their jobs wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those weird situations where it's like, well, if the doctors cleared him, can we really be upset at Valverde for playing him? I don't think you can. So I think if the doctors say Messi's good to go, if Lionel Messi says he's good to go,
sure,
he's good to
play
go.
Him, yeah.
What's your answer to your questions?
Do I think he's going to play him? He has to play him because we can't mess up in Champions League again. And we can't, this is, like you said, this is one of the biggest teams to play against in this group. I don't think we can waste anything, especially away.
Question. Of that front six, Fati, Griezmann, Perez, and then De Jong, Busquets, Arthur, what's going to change for this game on Tuesday against Dortmund?
It's got to be Fati. There's no way Fati starts Dortmund away when Messi's able to play if he plays him.
But let's assume Messi won't start.
Okay. Then that changes the ball game.
In my opinion.
Suarez, then. I would not.
For who?
For
Perez or for Fati? Dude, I want. Dude, Fati mania. I want to see Ansu Fati starting a Champions League game. He's a little young, but he's young. I don't think we're going
to
do
that. Yeah, that. And I think Suarez is more to the left anyway. As a player, so in the Fati was playing on
the
left
side. They would put Suarez up front and then have Griezmann kind of move to the left or right.
Mm.
That's what I think.
Griezmann is also playing an odd position today, so yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. Even when Suarez came in, Griezmann's been running back and forth everywhere, really. But
I like it. I see you getting a little negative over there.
I'm just making an observation.
I'm curious when your anti-Fati is going to come out. Okay, so what's your prediction, front three against Dortmund?
It's got to be front three or front six?
Front three first.
Okay. It's got to be Suarez, Griezmann, Perez. I'm going with that.
I'm going to go.
You're going to pick Fati, huh? No, you can't pick Fati.
I'm going to go with the same three. Okay. I want to see Fati, but I think he's too
young. You can't. No way is he going to start away in Dortmund.
I mean, dude, we're in Fati mania. Anything can happen.
It'd be crazy.
And he scores in the first 10
minutes.
If
that happened, I'll quit the pod.
Really? You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, and then what about the midfield?
The midfield. Valverde's starting some weird stuff in the midfield in the last four games. They're all different, really.
Sure.
Actually, two games were exactly the same, but all the other games were completely different. He's going to start FDJ. He's going to start Busquets. The question, I think, is Arthur going to start?
Or Vidal or Alenia?
Definitely not Alenia.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say not Alenia.
Vidal starting, though, I haven't seen a single thing that would make me think Vidal will start. Vidal has been coming in as a sub late in the game. He has provided energy. He's, you know, done stuff, but I don't see him being the starter, and I don't see Valverde seeing him as a starter.
What about your boy, Ivan
Rakitic? But we just talked about this whole thing. He seems like he's coming out as a sub, even though he's seasoned. He's a seasoned player, and I love him to death. But honestly, today when he came in, I thought he looked really good coming in as a sub. I would not be, I would be happy if Arthur started and Rakitic came in later as a sub and just played how he did today. It wasn't spectacular, but I think it was the goal, the second Suarez goal. It was Rakitic trying to put one in, and I thought it was a very good effort.
So we're in agreement. It's going to be same midfield.
This is the problem, though. This is the issue I have with Valverde playing lineups and then me going, ooh, I like that. And then he plays the same lineup, and then I'm like, shit, it didn't work, you know?
True. We saw that against Batiste and then against
exactly.
Osasuna.
So that's the thing. When I see a lineup work, I want to see it again.
Well, here's the big thing. It works at home.
True.
And then we try to repeat it away.
That is a good observation.
Not
only that, but
punch.
We're not playing a Spanish team. We're playing a completely...
True. And Dortmund just won, I think.
Yeah.
2-0?
I think so. No, more than that. It was 4-0? Like 4-0.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it was
4-0. Because Paco scored, and then there was someone else scored,
too. Yeah, here comes Paco. You know he wants to score against us.
I know,
this.
Gosh. We let him go, and then he's been going off, making all these goals.
So, predictions for the Dortmund game.
We're away. Oof. I'm going to go 2-1.
Who scores?
Barca wins, and I'm going to go... I can't say Suarez. He hasn't scored an away goal in forever in the Champions League.
True.
I'm going to go... I'll go Perez and...
Whoa, I like that.
And Griezmann. I'm going to take those two.
I'm going to say that the score is going to be 3-1 Barca.
Okay.
And I think that we're going to see Suarez, Griezmann, and Messi score.
Dang.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
I would like it. I would be so happy.
I also think Stegen's going to have a crazy game. I feel like going back to German soil. Yeah, he's ready. And, okay, I guess now we can move on to just some random things. One big thing is there's been so many stories lately about Stegen coming out saying, I think it's kind of BS that I'm not starting for Germany. Mm. I mean, very respectable about it. That's why partially why we like him so much. But he's definitely getting upset that Neuer is starting over him.
Well, he deserves to start, honestly. Neuer's getting older, too, and we know that Stegen's going to be around for a while. He's going to be the heart of, you know, German's box. He's got to start these games. He needs the time.
I agree. I mean, I just don't like Neuer that much because he screwed over Messi in that 2014 World Cup finals. True. But I guess also to bring some sad news, Umtiti's out 5 to 6 weeks, man.
He's been so
injury prone.
Yeah. After the whole French national win and then his knee injury, now this. He hasn't come back. I don't know what it is exactly. This could have been an issue beforehand, too, because we've barely seen him play before.
Maybe. And the one game we did in the preseason, he was slow.
It didn't look very good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all our thoughts are with Sam Umtiti. I love the guy. It was just last pod, I think, where we had this whole talk about how we feel bad that he's getting hurt and stuff, but just keeps continuing.
We did say that I think he made a comment that he was all right with having it happen in the sense that he won.
He made a trade-off, yeah, totally. I think that, you know, the big thing that this news means is we got to see Todibo come out.
Yeah, right? True.
People have been hyping him. There's been so many stories in the media that the team really likes him and Valverde is happy with how he's performing, but we need to see him in some big games.
I mean, Phil and Ray were even talking about this game and saying PK needs a replacement, you know, and that's true. Like, we have
true. Although I will say, if you remember last season, he started out the first half of the season bad and then finished the second half on fire.
But I'm talking about in the long run.
True.
But you're right. I totally agree with that. Some big news. We should talk about the Messi interview.
Yeah, with Sport, man. Yeah. What did you think about that? So I guess some of the headlines, he's definitely said he would have liked Barca to get Neymar. He said that he didn't know if Barca did everything as much as they could to get him, which I thought was a little bit ominous. What else was big in the interview? This is the big thing that we should talk about. He had some, like, pretty frank comments about Dembouz. One thing I've been loving about Messi in the last year or two is that, you know, he's come out more of as a leader vocally than he was before. I thought, you know, it was so cool to see him post that Instagram story after the Betis game Instagram post with Fati and Carlos Perez and talking about how he's so happy for the La Masia talents. And then I think this coming out about Dembouz was also very... He's very honest and very truthful, and I think that it's him kind of owning some of his leadership, right? He was saying basically that, you know, when we needed Dembele the most last season, he wasn't there, and that he needs to up his professionalism so that he's there and practicing and ready for the big games.
I agree with that. I think we've had this discussion before Messi even had this interview. He's a young guy, and... Maybe he's just not, because everybody matures at a different rate. Maybe he's just not super mature enough to take on this role and take it seriously. I think the issue is you might need Messi to do what he did there and, you know, step forward and tell him what's up.
Very true. I think it was Kevin Prince Boateng who had an interview this last week, that nightmare of a player. Who basically came out and said, well, what do you expect? You have this 18-year-old who all of a sudden goes for 150 million euros and gets paid tens of millions of euros a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're hardly mature enough to go to the gym and not make any stupid jokes, right? Like, this guy got all of a sudden flung to the top reaches of sporting fame, and he hasn't dealt with it well. Which, you know, unless you have more thoughts, it kind of reflects what Valverde said after the game against Valencia. He was saying, we need to protect Fati from all this.
True. He did
he's
say
a,
that.
He's 16. That. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we consider Arthur and De Jong young. He's 5 years younger than them.
Not only that, but he started at this age and is scoring these two goals back to back. It's very easily can go to his head. And I guess it's smart for Valverde to think that. Hopefully he doesn't take that too severely in a sense of, like we've discussed before, neutering players.
Sure.
But overall, I think Messi's interview was, I think, great in the sense that we don't hear a lot from him, but when we do, we hear a lot of good things, and he's very,
oh, true.
You know, what?
Sorry to cut you off, but one big thing we should talk about, and this is like something that caused a lot of strife, is when he said again that he said before, Anfield wasn't Valverde's fault. It was the fault of the players.
What do you take from that? Because I struggle with that comment, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I struggle.
That's a hot take. Good, I like it. I mean, I take away a few things. One is, I think clearly Valverde was at fault. Like, I think that he started the same lineup in game two as game one, when it was clear that putting Sergio Roberto as right wing in game one, that substitution, dramatically impacted how we played. And yet he decided to go to game two with the same lineup. I think I might have that in reverse, actually. But regardless, I also think that he didn't make any subs in time that impacted the game. You know, I thought that basically Valverde like took game one as if we did well and we needed to repeat that game, even though it was clear if you looked under the hood of that victory, we really got saved by Messi's greatness and Liverpool's inability to finish some chances. So
definitely.
So for me, it was a lot of like Valverde not preparing the team for the second leg well enough. At times, it just felt like we weren't focused and there, which is part of where Messi's coming from, right? Like, what could Valverde have done differently to make the players not fall asleep on that corner kick?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And on that level, you have to think, well, it is the player's fault.
I just think that, I mean, as the leader of the team, you also try to make sure that, as Messi, you don't want to say that it was necessarily the coach's fault, because then you might cause some of the players, especially the young players, not to trust in him. And doing that doesn't provide a strong foundation for the team. He is kind of almost taking the responsibility for himself, I think, and saying, like, it was our fault. We fell asleep. We didn't try hard enough. Like, we need to step our game up, not to blame it and just say, well, we didn't do anything wrong, which I think is a good step. And I think as a leader position, that was the right thing to do. I just think it's almost not 100% true.
Yeah, I mean, so I was wrong. It was the reverse, is that he started Sergi at right back in the second leg when clearly switching Semedo there really helped us out. I agree with you overall, though. I felt like it's not, because analyzing how Valverde failed in Liverpool isn't only about the game itself, but it's about how he prepared the team and had our players rested and ready for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I mean, is it his fault that Dembouz got hurt at Huesca? No. Should he have started him there? I don't know. Is it his fault that Arthur got hurt right before the Liverpool second leg? You know, no. But at the same time, right, like some of his management of players and their time and understanding, like, their body's needs, you know, it goes on him, right? So
sure. Although I did really like that interview, I do want to talk about some of the other games that occurred yesterday.
City lost.
Yeah.
Man City lost to Norwich City. That was kind of crazy.
That was crazy.
Boom. The biggest, best news for us. Atletico lost at
2-0.
Yeah, at Anoeta against Real Sociedad. So now we are only three back from Sevilla, the top team in La Liga.
I mean, that's great for us. We have to keep grinding, though, because Sevilla's generally a good team. Last season, I think we did really well against them, and they didn't, I think they placed top seven or something.
And, yeah, they've only let up one goal this season.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm worried that we might not be on top of our game, maybe in La Liga, because we started off kind of slow, but we'll see. I mean, again, we've said this. We don't have Messi. Suarez just came back. We're still finding our feet in that. I would almost be okay with, like, much, much, much more focus into the Champions League. I want to make so many less mistakes in the Champions League. I want to see our efforts kind of honed in a little bit. The Copa del Rey seems to take a lot of focus away from those goals. And as we saw last year, we put a lot of effort into it and we didn't win. The year before that, we put a lot of effort into it. We won the league, but then we got killed in the Champions League. I just want
to win the Champions League.
Well, that's, yes. I don't want to lose like we've lost the last 2 years. Even if we lost, I don't want to lose like that. That's been awful. It's hurt.
True. If we're playing well like we did today and we lost the game, I'll accept that.
Exactly. Swiss cheese D crosses, but whatever. At least we scored and tried.
All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you. Please, I'm going to ask one more time. Please review us on iTunes. Follow us on Barca Breakdown at Instagram and Twitter. Leave us some comments, some reviews. Love to hear from you guys.
And we'll be back very shortly. We got a big game against Dortmund on Tuesday. Let's get it.
Forza Barca.